Todd Grove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
This is the day that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is acknowledged. And I am glad at this time the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is acknowledged. Now, I fear that many would acknowledge the resurrection that don't really know why he was raised from the dead. It's just something they've always been taught, and they believe that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the gospel. Let me repeat that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of the gospel. Jesus Christ lived. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will. He came in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. And in the flesh, He kept God's law perfectly. He never sinned. And in the flesh, this one who never sinned and kept God's law perfectly, this one who is the Son of God, he's equal with God because he is God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God as a distinct person, and the Word was God. He's the creator of the universe. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of heaven. He's the express image of the invisible God. All that God is, He is. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now this one came to this planet and lived a perfect life, and yet he is crucified. He's nailed to a cross and he dies. All biological functions have ceased. He really dies. Now somebody thinks, how can the God-man die? I do not know, but he did. He did. The God-man died. Why did he die? He took the sins of his people upon himself. When he drank the dregs of that cup his Father gave him to drink, he took in all the sins of his people. While he never sinned himself, he became guilty of the commission of all of those sins. God is absolutely just. God is no respecter of persons. Even when sin is in His Son, His only begotten and well-beloved Son, and it was in Him in the sense that He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And the justice of God demanded His death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. The sins of God's people were imputed to him. They became his. He bore them and he died. But he did not go through the process of decay. The moment he died, God's justice was absolutely satisfied. The full payment for those sins that he died for was made. Now, if someone murdered your son or your daughter, and they said, here's $5 million, will that satisfy you? You'd say no. As a matter of fact, no amount of money could satisfy, no payment could satisfy. The only thing that would satisfy you is if your child was raised from the dead. And the one who killed your child was punished properly. Now, the reason hell is eternal is because God can never be satisfied with what we've done. We've murdered His Son. We're all held responsible for that. My problem is not that I stole the watermelon. My problem is that I murdered God's Son. Somebody says, I didn't do it. Yeah, you did, and you would do it if God left you to yourself. And the reason hell is eternal is because God can never be satisfied, but Christ did what you and I could never do. He satisfied God. God said, I accept this. I am satisfied. And He raised His Son from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And the entire gospel is predicated upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope because He lives. That's why we have this living hope. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. And then Peter also said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, that we have the answer of a good conscience by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A good conscience. What is a good conscience? Is it one that feels no guilt? If you feel no guilt, you've got a seared conscience. Either that or you're a sociopath. A good conscience is a conscience that has nothing to feel guilty about. And in Christ putting away my sin, His resurrection is what gives me a good conscience. I have nothing to be guilty about before God. I stand before God without sin. Now, the Bible has always taught of the resurrection of the dead. I love in Mark chapter 12 where some men who were called Sadducees and didn't believe in the resurrection, they were bringing this phony story before the Lord about seven different brothers, all who died, and each one passed his wife to the next brother, and they were asking the question, because they didn't believe in the resurrection, they were asking this question: in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Because all seven had her to wife. Well, the Lord said, do you not therefore err, because you know not the Scriptures nor the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, the Lord knew of the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as in the angels which are in heaven. But as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Men who we would have called dead, He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore greatly err. Now, when I would read that passage in Exodus chapter 3, I don't believe I would have thought, there the teaching of the resurrection is. No, but the Lord lets us know this is the teaching of the resurrection. He's not the God of the dead, but the living. These men have been spiritually resurrected, and they live before God. Now, the resurrection is taught in the opening lines of the Bible. When darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, that darkness representing lifelessness and death. And God said, light be, and light was. This pictures all three resurrections taught in the Scripture. There are three resurrections taught. First, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He was dead. God raised Him from the dead. Because He had finished the work the Father gave Him to do, the Father was satisfied, and He raised Him. And then we have the spiritual resurrection that every believer experiences, and you hath He quickened, you hath He given life to, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And we have the final resurrection. We have this darkness. The Spirit of God moves. He raises Christ from the dead. He gives spiritual life to those who are dead in sins by nature. And at the end, the dead in Christ will be raised. Everybody will be raised. Some to eternal life, some to eternal damnation, the Lord said in John chapter 5. But there will be a resurrection. Now, the resurrection of Christ has always been taught. I love what Job said in the oldest book in the Bible, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He knew He redeemed him. He knew he would die. And he knew he would live. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and that after my skin, worms destroy this body. That's going to happen to me. That's going to happen to you if the Lord doesn't come before that takes place. Job says, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold Him, and not another. There we have the resurrection taught in the oldest book in the Bible. Now, the resurrection of Christ is eternal. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, and this is so mysterious and glorious. Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means before time, before creation, He was the Lamb slain. But not only was He the Lamb slain, He was the Lamb raised from the foundation of the world. And the resurrection is eternal. Everything God does is eternal because He is the eternal God. We read of the eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God's elect have always been accepted for this one singular reason. Jesus Christ lived for them, died for them, and was raised again for them. That's what baptism signifies. When Christ lived, I lived. When Christ died, I died. When Christ was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. Now, there's a passage in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. This is after Lazarus has died. Martha said unto him, Jesus said unto her in verse 23, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I've got my doctrine straight on what's going to take place on the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. The resurrection is not so much an event that will take place in the future. It's a person. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, the Lord says to her, I am the resurrection. You see, when Christ was raised from the dead, you know who else was? Everybody He represented. The Scripture says we were quickened together with Christ. When He was raised from the dead, all of God's elect were raised from the dead. And on at least three different occasions, He told the disciples He would be raised from the dead. As a matter of fact, once right before He died, He told them He would be raised from the dead. And the Pharisees knew it because after His death, they said this deceiver, when he lived, said he would be raised from the dead after 3 days. So let's go put a watch on his tomb to make sure nothing happens. But the disciples weren't there waiting, as they should have been. But at any rate, on three times, he said, including the night before his betrayal, I will rise from the dead. You know, very early in his ministry, when he made that whip to drive out the people out of the temple, and they said, who gives you the authority to do this? He said, raise this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it up. That demonstrates my authority. He's talking about his resurrection from the dead after 3 days. And the thief on the cross, I don't know if he knew all the mechanics of the resurrection, but he knew who the Lord was. And he said, Lord, you're not going to stay on this cross. You're not going to stay dead. You're going to come back as a mighty reigning king. Now, he might not have had all the mechanics of the resurrection in his mind, but he knew that Christ could not stay dead. He said, you're going to come back as a mighty reigning king over your spiritual kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now, when Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, he says, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and with wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now, why was it not possible? Because of who he is. You see, if I die for you, it won't do you any good because I'm a sinner. We're talking about the Son of God. Because of who he is, it was not possible that he should be held down by death, because he completely saved everybody he represented. He said, I've glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. He was raised from the dead because it was not possible for him to stay dead. He put away sin. He satisfied the justice of God. God raised him up because he was completely satisfied with what he did and everybody he did it for. Now, I think it's interesting in the writings of Paul, the longest chapter is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in that chapter, he is dealing with the resurrection of the dead. If you would carefully study 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you would notice that he begins with this statement, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. And his thought is not over until verse 25. Every verse is connected with a conjunction that lets us know the sentence, the thought is not actually over until verse 25 when he says, for he must reign. But the verse begins, or the chapter begins, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He says in verse 3, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, according to the Scriptures is very important. It's not just believing he lived, he died, and he was raised from the dead. It's how he lived, how he died, how he was raised according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures give the reason for his life, his death, and his resurrection. You know, I've heard of one man who set about to disprove the resurrection of Christ. And he went about it, and he became convinced by reading the Scriptures that it must have taken place. Now, did he really believe in the resurrection? Well, he believed it took place, but he had no understanding of the resurrection. He thought, well, I got to believe these credible witnesses. You believe in the resurrection because of who Jesus Christ is. Not simply because you think the credible witnesses can be believed, but he is God the Son, and he must be successful. He must reign. He must be raised from the dead. Now, in verse 12 of this same chapter, Paul says, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? Now, even in a gospel church in Corinth, That kind of foolishness was going on. There were some in that church saying that there was no resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul is going to deal with that. He says, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain. It's meaningless. It doesn't have a point. And your faith also is vain. Your faith won't do you any good if Christ didn't raise from the dead. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified that He raised up Christ, whom He hath not raised up, if so be that the dead rise not. We're false witnesses. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. It won't save you. You're yet in your sins. Your sins have not been put away. You still stand before God, a holy and just God, in your sins. They also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. They've gone to hell. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Because He has been raised from the dead, I'm not in my sins. My faith is not vain. I'm a true witness of God, bearing testimony that God in fact raised Him from the dead. Now, the whole gospel, I repeat, the whole gospel is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to this scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. This is my gospel, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the hope. You know why I have a hope of heaven? Because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Not because I see some good thing in me that makes me think I'm saved. Not because of some work I've performed. My hope is completely in that God accepted Jesus Christ and His sin payment, and He accepts everybody that He represented. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, this is the stuff of faith. It's not just believing that the resurrection took place. A lot of people believe that have no understanding of it. It's believing that He did what He came to do. He put away the sins of His people, completely saved them, and God raised Him from the dead because God was satisfied with what He did. Now, I'd like to read a passage from Philippians chapter 3, where Paul speaks of the resurrection. He says, beginning in verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. So that when God comes looking for me, all he will see is Jesus Christ. Not having my own righteousness. I don't want to stand before God in my own righteousness. And here's why. The scripture says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And that is my righteousness. That is your righteousness. I don't want to stand before God in that which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. Now, if I have righteousness before God, it's God's righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He took my sin and He gave me His righteousness. Then Paul said that I might know Him. Oh, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, what did Paul mean by that, the power of His resurrection? Well, first, it took the omnipotent power of God to raise Him from dead in the first place. You know, only God can raise the dead. That's something that He exclusively can do. It can't be duplicated in a laboratory. Men have tried it. Only God can give life in the first place
And only God can give life from the dead. It took the omnipotence of God. But I want to know the justifying power of His resurrection. Listen to the scripture. From Romans chapter 4, verse 25. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, when Christ was raised from the dead, every believer was justified. What does that mean? That means you have no sin. That means you have no guilt. That means you stand before God perfectly righteous, not guilty. Oh, the justifying power of His resurrection. Paul put it this way, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And then there is not only the power that brought him from the dead, not only the justifying power of his resurrection, but there is the life-giving power of his resurrection. You see, the same power that raised him from the dead raises that one who's dead in trespasses and sins. Same power. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And what is the evidence that he's quickened me? I find complete satisfaction in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. I'm not looking for anything else. I'm not leaning on anything else. I'm looking to Him only. And Paul also said in this passage at the end, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Here's my goal, that I'm going to be raised from the dead incorruptible, without sin, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Like David in Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Now the whole gospel is founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He did die. The God-man died as the sin-bearing substitute, and He was raised from the dead. Now we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write, email, we'll send you a copy.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send a request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.